Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly worship you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give.
Well, good morning. We welcome the few brave souls this morning. Early service, we actually had a fairly good group here this morning, so we praise God for that. And in light of our smaller attendance late service, this is a fairly good group as well. It's an awesome group because you guys are here. But we praise God for the reality wherever two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord affirms His presence among us. And what an honor and a privilege that God doesn't change in the midst of a world that is constantly changing. Well, as you well know, there's a number of churches that aren't even meeting for worship. And it'd be important for us to put this into context before we begin our worship this morning. And so we're going to hear from the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And then after that, I want to share some notes from our leadership within our congregation from a meeting that we had yesterday. So, first of all, President Harrison, our synodical headquarters are in St. Louis, and so it's from there that he shares these words with us today. And if you can read lips, it helps.
LCMS, including their seminaries and universities.
God bless our sound people. I'd be trying to get this up for a week.
Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Dear friends in Christ, the many and various entities of the LCMS, including our seminaries and universities, have been taking various actions in response to government recommendations and mandates to try to stem the spread of the coronavirus. At this point, our global missionaries and their families are well, thanks be to God. Some are quarantined in their respective countries by local governments, and we have also put in place a temporary travel ban for their safety and that of others. While we have not wanted to add to what at times seems a circus of media hype and political nonsense, I thought it time to address you, the people of the LCMS, directly. First, we owe our local and national government authorities respect according to the Fourth Commandment. We also owe them our constant prayers according to specific directives of St. Paul the Apostle. Dr. Fauci of the President's White House Task Force has stated within the last 24 hours that we are in a crucial period where it is possible to significantly limit the spread of the virus by smart action on the part of the public. Second, we have a duty of love to our neighbors according to the Fifth Commandment. We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. The LCMS is not hierarchical. I have no authority to mandate anything in this regard to the 6,000 churches of the Synod, nor would we want it any other way. But I do have the freedom and responsibility to urge all of us to make a concerted effort to act in ways which limit exposure for ourselves and for the well-being of our neighbors, at church and beyond. Third, this is a very fluid and changing situation. Responses will not be uniform across the church. As Luther noted in his document on the plague in Wittenberg, different people will make different decisions based upon circumstance and vocation. We trust our well-trained clergy as they consult with each other, with circuit visitors, and district leadership to take appropriate action in their context. We trust the great lay leaders of our congregations to discern appropriate action. Given the seriousness of this virus, its fluidity, and potential for much greater infection, actions may include, in some places, even foregoing church services and offering some substitute online. We trust the sanitary practices of our parishes with respect to the sacrament of the altar. But in these few weeks, individuals, pastors, and congregations will be making decisions in light of the crisis on various customary practices. We must, in love, be patient with one another as we strive to be both faithful and responsible. Also, remember to be generous in these weeks when attendance may be affected and offerings low. We will very soon provide the opportunity for Q&A on all manner of questions, including those on the Lord's Supper. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus foretold all the kinds of things that would mark the time just before his coming. He talks about wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famine, persecution, and much more. He also included pestilence. Most all great Christians, including Martin Luther 500 years ago, beheld the mess of the world around them and thought the end must be soon. But most important, Jesus said at the end of his speech, "Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." You all know Luther's great Reformation hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." It's his hymn version of Psalm 46. But you may not know it was written during the plague in Wittenberg in 1527. A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free from every need which now has us o'ertaken. Your times are in the Lord's hands. Your days are numbered only by him. In fact, the very hairs of your head are numbered. You have only the resurrection to look forward to. And you have the glorious apostolic promise, "All things work together for good for those called according to his purpose." I plead your patience as we all struggle through this with our nation and the world. And I do know this, crosses always drive people to Jesus, including us. Count on it. We'll update you soon. In the meantime, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Amen.
And the website, by the way, lcms.org. And then if you want a specific coronavirus, /coronavirus. But a lot of great information available from our church body on this issue. Just some things I want to sum up from our meeting of elders and council yesterday to put everything in perspective for us as well here at Trinity. But one thing, I encourage all of you, I know you know the word well, but think about some of those passages that deal with fear. Because I think there's a lot of people not only afraid, but terrified right now, and a lot because of a lot of, I think, misinformation. But just be prepared and have verses in your mind and heart that you can readily share. And one that came to me through sharing was 2 Timothy 1:7. And this is really powerful for our times. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." I love that. It brings it all together. Power, love, and sound mind. We need a lot of sound minds right now, a lot of wisdom, a lot of balanced thinking, a lot of discernment, and only the church has that to offer to the unbelieving world. And so And in line of that, then, it's important that we don't isolate ourselves. And I'm glad that you're here this morning. These are times when we need to pull together. We need to be in fellowship with one another. We need to be here to pray together, encourage each other. And although we recognize some people may have to be, obviously, isolated for a while, but in light of that, just kind of think about the people that are generally here that aren't, and you may just call them. God oftentimes puts names of people on our hearts and minds, and if that name comes to your mind, don't just kind of park that, but immediately get on the phone or text or however you communicate and just let them know you're thinking about them, you're checking in to make sure they're doing okay. And boy, that can be a very powerful, simple communication. In light of what President Harrison said, we are bound by the fourth commandment of abiding, living in submission to the left kingdom that reigns over us in that kingdom world, to the extent that the left kingdom doesn't attempt to cause us to do something contrary to God's will or prevent us from doing God's will. There's a balance in that. But I just want everybody to know, and you've probably heard it from our governor, that he recommends, highly suggests, that nobody gather in gatherings of 250 or more. And so even here at Trinity with our normal worship, we're never, with both services, beyond generally that 250. So we are in compliance with what our governor is sharing. And that's important because people may say at work, hey, we drove by your church. What an irresponsible people you are that you actually met in the midst of this crisis. Well, you can share with them. You know, we're doing what the governor suggested. You know, we're not up to that number. But we are taking precautions. And, you know, if you feel comfortable shaking hands, that's great. But Lindy and I, just for the sake of everybody else, because we're shaking everybody's hands, hugging everybody, and it's very hard for us not to do that. But just for protection, that something wouldn't be passed on to another, we're going to try to curb that here in the today and in the next couple weeks or so, depending on how things go. Obviously, just the normal hygiene things. Don't cough in each other's face. Mr. Whitney isn't here today because he had a bad cough. And he doesn't have a fever, so we're okay, I believe. But I said, Larry, just go home. You know, it'd be better that you're at home today if you have any symptom like that. As far as plans for communion, because next week we'll be having communion here in this sanctuary. So in this time right now, we're changing up our system a little bit. So we're just going to usher people up and give people the distance they feel comfortable with. And we're just going to line up as you come forward, and then the elders and me and Mr. Whitney will be here to offer the bread and the wine to you as you are standing. And then you can either go back to your pew, or if you want some devotional time, you can go over to the rail on your own for that. And when the bread is offered, we would just ask that you cup your hands and the elders will drop the bread. So there's no touching of hands in that process. And I've been sharing, Brenda, I haven't talked to you yet, but with our gals and guys that set up communion, we're going to try to have a space between each of the cups and the communion trays so you can still take the cup, but you won't be touching the cup next to it. So, I mean, just some common sense things in light of the things that are being discussed out there in the world. So we're really trying to meet as those demands as much as possible to make it as safe for us here as we gather together. Steve Cooper shared something really great at our meeting yesterday, and I'm really holding on to this, and this is powerful for you as well. Acknowledge that people have fears. So people are all over the place on this. There's some that think they're going to die tomorrow, you know, and others like myself, well, you don't want to know what I think about all this. But anyway, we're all at different levels of fear, or we have no fear at all. And the point is to respect whatever that level of fear is of that other individual. and to respect that, and it opens up a wonderful opportunity again to bring up those passages in Scripture where God addresses fear. So those are kind of some of the main things. The other thing was outreach, and we already have people that have volunteered. Said, Pastor, if somebody calls and they feel like they need to stay home and they're afraid to go to the store to get groceries, let them know I'm available. I can do that for them. So we want that to be communicated among our family here as well. So we don't want anybody to feel like they're out there alone and helpless, but there's a lot of people here that will love them and reach out and help them in the ways that they may need that. So, and then the last thing, as President Harrison mentioned, and as a council we talked about it, you know, the bills still have to be paid, the lights are on, staff is still here, so with the decline in attendance, that can really affect the offerings. So if you just hold that up in prayer and personally as you think about your own giving, as God directs you to deal with that as well. But what I do know is He's the provider of all things. And we'll get through this just fine. Yes, dear? Oh, yes, thank you. And we do have sanitizer out on the credenza in the entryway. And then at communion, we're going to have it up front for me and the elders to clean our hands again right before communion. So we're making every effort we can to be safe. But, well, enough of that, but I think it's important that we kind of set some ground rules of sort of where we're at in our moving forward. But Angela, you have something very important.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just going to say, as far as Tuesday night choir, we're preparing for Easter services. At this point, we are still going to meet. We don't have an infinite number of Tuesdays and practices until Easter, so I'd still like to meet. Tuesday, 6:30. Anybody still is welcome. We are especially in need of men folk, a few good men to help get us some of those lower voices in there. Please, if that changes, I will let you all know. So please make sure that I have your email address if you are wanting to participate in that so I can share the message. And as far as Wednesday for confirmation, we were going to have a break anyway this week, but next week we'll take an at-home online learning method too, so I'll be waiting for those emails, and I'm going to create a video for us so that the confirmation kids can watch that, but that will be coming. So confirmation families, just watch your email for that next week. That's what I have. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Angela. And by the way, nothing's changed today. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Amen. Praise God for His blessing.
Let's stand.
Yeah, and let us stand for the opening song.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and
Blessed we are by God's grace to know that we are our Lord's precious lambs, that he is our good shepherd who loved us, his sheep, so much that he died for us and he lives for us. And we are honored to gather in the name of the one true Almighty God, in the name of the Father, who come, oh come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And of the Son, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. And of the Holy Spirit, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands form the dry land. Almighty Lord, our Creator, we confess to you, we forget your power and might, fail to trust in your ever-providing hands, and are found lacking in our managing of this world you formed. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Almighty Lord, our Maker and Shepherd, we confess we, like sheep, have gone astray, listening to other voices of this world. We have not loved our whole heart and have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I had loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Almighty Lord, like those you sent wandering in the wilderness, we justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. And therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. In this Lenten season, as we journey closer to his cross, God shows us his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. And we've been speaking from Psalm 95 several times, but I don't think we can pray this prayer enough today. And so we read responsibly Psalm 95 in prayer and praise to God. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving.
Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God.
And a great King above all gods.
In his hand are the depths of the earth.
The heights of the mountains
The sea is his, for he made it. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God.
And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand.
Today, if you hear his voice,
do not harden your hearts as in the wilderness, as on the day of my wilderness.
When your fathers put me to the test,
and put me to the
glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
The Old Testament reading this morning comes from Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson this morning comes from Romans 5, verses 1 through 8. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the Lord of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And I would invite the congregation to stand as we honor the Holy Gospel. And as we speak together the gospel verse, the hour is coming and is now. In truth and spirit. The Holy Gospel for this Sunday is recorded in the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. So Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the 6th hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, O Christ. May be seated, and I would invite the children to come forward. Mrs. Erickson's going to have a message for them.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Is anybody awake? Anybody awake? Good morning. Good morning. So good to see you guys here today in God's house. I'm so glad you're here. What do I have here? Brandon? A cup. A water bottle, right? My water bottle. It even has my name on it so that I know it's mine. I can always make sure I have water. I try to drink enough water a day. You know, water's very important to our bodies. Have you learned that yet in school? I've talked about that, that our body is somewhere 70 to 80% water. We need water so that all our body parts are working really well, especially when it's hot and we sweat outside. We need more water, right? Yeah, it helps us feel good. When you don't go for a couple hours with water, you kind of start feeling thirsty, right? Ooh, I really need some water, right? What's this? Daniel, have you seen this around? What is it? It's Mrs. E's coffee cup, yes. It's what I have every day, huh? It sits by me. Adults might say this is just as important as the water, right? We want this. You're already thirsty? Ooh. Well, we are blessed to have water fountains here and sinks and right in our country. When you have been playing outside, or maybe you've been playing soccer or basketball or something, yes, and you just worked up a sweat, sometimes you might drink this too, right? Kool-Aid. But what is this? What's this?
Gatorade.
Gatorade. Yes, and there's something, you know, science-y about the Gatorade. It's not just plain water and the flavor. It doesn't just taste good, but it has what's called electrolytes, and they help replace some of the salts and nutrients that you sweat out when you've been really sweaty. Helps you recover and feel better fast, less thirsty faster if you drink the Gatorade. And on here it says thirst quencher. Oh, so if I go run and then I go drink this, does that mean I will never have to drink any more water ever again? But it says thirst quencher. Quencher means it's gone. Your thirst is gone.
It gives you more energy.
Gives me some more energy, but forever?
No.
No. Even if I drink this and it says thirst quencher, I'm going to need to have more water later, right? And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Our bodies need the water. We will never stop needing water in these bodies here on earth. But Jesus is talking about water today, and we also hear some lessons about water in the Old Testament. The people of Israel are in the desert. Is the desert hot or cold?
Hot.
So they're sweaty. Are they near an ocean or rivers or anything that could give them water? No. They are so thirsty. They're telling Moses, Moses, find us some water. We need water. They're praying to God. We need water. And God does provide it for them. But then in the New Testament, we hear when Jesus comes to a woman who is at a well. Just making sure, do you all know how a well works, right? Somebody's dug really deep underground to find where underground water is, and you bring it up with a bucket. And that's what they had in Jesus' time. They didn't have sinks and running water and plumbing like we do, or drinking fountains or bottled water at the store. None of that. They went to a well or a river if you had a river nearby, but that is how they got their water. So this woman is pulling water out of the well, and she and Jesus start having a conversation about the water. And Jesus says, well, you know what? I know of a water. If you have it, you're never going to be thirsty again. And the woman doesn't really understand either. She says, what kind of water would that be? She's a little confused. But what was Jesus talking about? Was he talking about a special well that she needed to find? No. Was he talking about Gatorade?
No.
No. What was he talking about? The living water, that when you have it, you won't need it. You won't be thirsty anymore. Even better than that. Even better than fresh, clean water. Believing in him, right? Yes, Jesus himself is that living water. The living water that if we have it, we won't need anything else. So when Paul gets a message from God later, God says, my grace is sufficient. God tells us he is enough for us. That good news that we know, that is enough for us. Even if we were to lose everything else, God is enough, right? That good news that Jesus came to us because our world is sinful. We've seen some of the effects of the sin, right? Sickness, ickiness, bad stuff happening in the world. But we know that God had the plan, right? That Jesus died on the cross for us and forgave all that sin. They're washed away, just like when you wash your hands and wash all those germs. Our sins are washed away permanently, one time. Jesus only had to die once, and it's all done. And we are so blessed to know this good news. He was bigger, more powerful than sin, death, and the devil. And we can tell everybody about that because that living water, Jesus has sent his Holy Spirit to live in our hearts, to have God in our hearts. We can share that. So that is so neat. Way better than fresh, clean water. Way better than coffee. Way better than Gatorade. Jesus is that living water that will never run out, that we'll always have with us. That's pretty awesome. So you guys will be hearing some more about that during the sermon. So listen to Pastor when he's talking about that. Can you guys pray with me, please? Dear Jesus, thank you for being our living water. Your death on the cross washed away our sins, and you are all we need. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may go back to your parents now.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fail, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gives us that solid foundation upon which to stand that will never crumble, will never fail us. And speaking of those promises we stand on, what incredible words God shares with us in His Word today. And I'd like us to go to the epistle reading, Romans chapter 5, and we'll consider this whole passage, but really honing in on verse 2 of this text. Incredible promises that God provides. Through Him, and Him being Jesus Christ, through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Wow, what promises God provides in those precious words. Did you hear it? God affirming to us that you and I, as his precious children, that we have free and full access to God. Do you ever think about that? That God is just always available to us? That God is always aware of every detail of our lives? Well, this morning I'd like you to think about what you would like to have access to other than God. Maybe some would say, well, gee, it'd be nice if there was a vaccine for whatever this virus is, right? That would be nice to have access to that, perhaps. Or I'm going back several years in my own life, but I actually have a flight dispatch license with the FAA, and flight dispatchers, they are basically the pilots on the ground. This is American Airlines flight dispatch office in Dallas, Texas. And the flight dispatchers figure out the weight and balance on airplanes, and they check the weather. And by law, the dispatcher and the pilot have to sign off on every commercial flight that flies. Well, back in the day when I was trying to get on with the airlines, I had the license, but nobody knew me. And you know how that goes. You send in the resumes, you send in the applications, and you know they're probably getting buried in a drawer somewhere, or they're thrown into the trash. And I finally realized the only way, if I pursue this, the only way I'm going to get a job is if I go and meet these people uninvited. That was a scary moment for me in my younger years. This was way pre 9/11. And so at American Airlines, to get into that room is very high security for the day. And they had gates, they had warnings. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to walk in with pilots. So here's pilots and I think flight attendants and other personnel. They have their name tags hanging. Everybody looks official. And I just kind of blended in. And I actually got all the way into that room. And then from that room, I thought the flight dispatch manager has to be close by. And so I walked down the hall around the perimeter of the room. And sure enough, there was his office. His secretary was there. And I introduced myself and I said, I'd love to see the flight manager. And she was kind of shocked. And she said, well, do you have an appointment? And I said, no. And she said, well, I think he's going to be out of the office the rest of the day. But I could see him shuffling around in the office. Well, I sat there for 3 hours, and after 3 hours, I was invited in, and I got to meet with the flight dispatch manager of the day of American Airlines. We had a just fascinating conversation. But the reason I bring that up is just the hoops I had to go through to get there. Can you imagine if it was that way in our relationship with God? Boy, that would be terrifying, wouldn't it? But from the get-go, when God created the universe, when he created all living things, when he created our first parents, Adam and Eve, God was fully accessible and freely accessible to that which he created, and certainly to our first parents, Adam and Eve. Now remember, God created them perfectly. They were without sin. They were in the garden. We don't know how long before sin came into the world, before they rebelled against God. But what a beautiful relationship. And in Genesis 2, we hear the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And so God not only creates Adam, breathes into him the breath of life, remember, from the dust that he scooped up, but now God intimately puts Adam into this paradise and gives him the keys, if you will, to the kingdom and invites Adam to be the steward over what he has created. And you just see this very close, intimate relationship between man and God and between woman and God, as later Eve is created as well. And then even after they had fallen into sin, we see in Genesis 3:8 a description of still God's intimate presence there with them as they're trying to hide from God. And we hear that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And again, you think of God walking in the garden, right there in the midst of the garden with them, and this intimate relationship, but already falling apart, not because of God, but because of Adam and Eve's rebellion against God. And once they had sinned, everything changed. And so now it's like there's this huge, several yard thick cement wall that stands between them and God. And there's absolutely nothing they can do about it. They've totally cut off their access to God. And God could have chosen, in his perfect justice, to leave them, and we would be in the same condition still today, in that situation and condition. But God does the most amazing thing, doesn't he? He chooses to intervene. And we know that first gospel promise of the seed of the woman. We talked about that last week. You can read about it in Genesis 3:15. But today in Romans 3, just in the context of our epistle reading today, we hear God declare to the world, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift." And justified means declared not guilty. That God declares the world not guilty through the gift of his grace, his Son. And there it is, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so that redemption, speaking of Jesus' shed blood. But this is the context then, the foundation, if you will, to this therefore at the beginning of our epistle reading. And what a beautiful, powerful, wonderful therefore. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, what does God say? But we have peace with God. We have peace with God. And through faith, this is our relationship. We have total peace with God. Nothing that we bring to the table, God brought everything. And that barrier that stood between us and God due to sin, God demolishes that barrier through his grace given through the work his Son accomplished. And as a result, God has restored, he has reconciled this broken relationship. And so now being back in peace with God, we have that intimate access to God. Yes, it's free access to God by his grace. And so you think of that in the midst of our physical trials, and certainly we know what that's all about in light of what's going on in the world today. But it's really not much different from many events in the history of the world. And certainly we go back to the account of the Exodus and the Israelites out in the wilderness, as we heard Brenda share with us this morning, that Old Testament reading. Now think about these people. Did they really understand, believe, and trust and embrace the reality that they had total access to God and that God was there fully aware of their condition? Oh my goodness, God had delivered them out of that horrendous, powerful nation of Egypt in a miraculous way. Then they're at the shores of the Red Sea. It seems like a barrier. God parts the waters, and they walk on dry land to the other side. And then they watch, and they see the army with the chariots of Pharaoh coming after them. And the waters close in and drown Pharaoh's powerful army. And here they are on the other side, safe and sound. And now as time transpires, they're out in the desert and they're getting thirsty. And what's their first response? They're grumbling, aren't they? They're complaining. Wow, it sounds kind of like the grocery stores today, right? How about the toilet paper issue? Oh my gosh. And people might kill each other over toilet paper of all things. But has anybody ever thought just to say, God, you know, I'm in need of whatever it is, and prayerfully go to the Lord, trusting that God is right here in our midst, that he's fully aware of our need, and we can confidently go to him? That would have so changed the environment of the Israelites, wouldn't it? And Moses, as a leader, would have had a much easier, enjoyable job. Well, then we think about the Samaritan woman, one of my favorite accounts in Scripture. Talk about the Lord making himself accessible. Think about this. Jesus, his disciples with him, they end up in this area not by accident. Jesus chose to go here by Sychar, and there's a well outside the community. And then Jesus sends the disciples off, and I think that was more than just go find some food, but Jesus placed himself there for this woman. It's in the heat of the day. Nobody goes out to get water at high noon. You know, the community goes out early in the morning together. They go out in the evening, but not high noon. And so that's very revealing that this woman was probably shamed in her community. She was probably ostracized because of her style of living. And Jesus revealed that he knew what was going on in her life. But think about that. Jesus even knew that she had had five husbands already, and the guy she's living with now is not her husband. But Jesus intentionally makes himself available to her. And he wanted it one-on-one, just the two of them. And we are so blessed that the Lord has preserved this dialogue for us. But the Lord brings her from what was probably a life of despair and brings her to that living water. And so spiritually, the Lord is always ready and available. In fact, you know, in Timothy's, in Paul's letters to Timothy, we hear that God desires all people to be saved. Bottom line, God says, I have made it possible that I am accessible to all of you. But isn't it sad in the times we're living, and we can see it so clearly revealed now, how many people really turn to God for the coronavirus and seek God's wisdom and direction and protection in it? It's a concerning situation, but that's much more concerning to me than the virus itself, is where are people turning? What are they going to do in response to this? And God says, I'm here. I'm here, and I'm much bigger than the virus. Just turn to me. And God will provide, and he does. In fact, he's provided in the greatest way, hasn't he? Through the gift of his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, in Romans 5, our text at the end of this reading, amazing words. Think about this. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Think about that. Christ died for the ungodly. Do you ever get into that mode where you're kind of down in the dumps and you think, oh man, my sin's so great. I'm such a horrible person that I'm not sure Christ died for me. Well, that's when you need to hear God's voice and not your own voice or Satan's voice. Because God just lays it out here. Christ died for the ungodly. And then God even emphasizes this, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. In our sinful nature, in the worldly thinking mindset, that makes sense. Yeah, if somebody's pretty decent, maybe they did a lot of good things for me, yeah, I might, you know, put my life on the line for them. But God goes far beyond that and emphasizes again in verse 8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We have no resume to bring to the table. We have no application form that we could even fill out to tell something about ourselves to God that would contribute to him loving us. No, it's not about us. It's all about him intervening in our lives. It's about him reaching out to you and me who are powerless, ungodly, sinners. And God still chose to love us. Jesus still chose, despite the hatred, to make that journey to the cross and to pay the punishment of all sin. That's foundational. And that opens the gates. That brings us into this intimate fellowship that we are blessed to know and to have. And so Paul declares, what resounding words. We have peace We have peace with God. And you know, when you have peace with God, that means 100% security, no matter how much the world is in turmoil. And I love a commentator who wrote on peace, "We haven't merely escaped punishment, but we live in a positive relationship with God." Isn't that cool? That we live in this wonderful positive relationship. You know, eirene, which is the Greek word for peace here in this text, do you know what that literally means? It means to join or to tie together in a whole, W-H-O-L-E. So it's a whole, complete. And so it's like the Lord's saying that he ties us to himself. Now, obviously, God will let us go if we desire not to be with him. We can make that choice. But otherwise, the Lord's got us tied firmly to himself. We are one with him in communion and fellowship. Isn't that beautiful? And so whatever we face in life, we are tied intimately to the Almighty God, who is fully aware of everything that we are dealing with individually. He is always accessible, and it brings tremendous blessings. And so Paul goes on to write, of course, God inspired this, "We rejoice in hope of the glory of God." So we are living now heaven bound, right? We know what the end of our journey is. We know we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be in glory. We know there's not going to be any cancer or viruses of any kind, where there will be life and death will be unknown, and it'll be paradise as God intended for us all along. That's our future. And what's really awesome, though, is God doesn't just say, "Well, here, it's yours, and it's firmly in place. Now just deal with the few years you have on this earth." It's not how God approaches us in our lives and in our journey. But look at the beauty of what our life is like when we live anchored to the Lord. We rejoice in our suffering. Boy, there's an odd statement, right? Some people would say we're nuts if we told them that. But no, God says we rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because in our sufferings, the Lord is continually transforming and molding our lives. And look what it brings. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. The full circle. I love one commentator talks about this being the golden chain of God's blessing, that suffering produces endurance, endurance character, character hope, and then we hear that hope does not disappoint. And so it's a win-win situation with God. We are in the victory now. We have full access to God now. And even though we suffer, God's going to use our suffering to make us stronger. And through that suffering, that we can be a blessing to those around us. By the way, would you agree with me that God does incredible things through times of suffering? You know, whether it's us individually or whether it's our nation right now. You know, in suffering, people come to realize the reality that we are powerless. And it gets us on our knees. It gets us back to the focus where we need to be. It builds character. And so, what a blessing that hope does not disappoint. The Lord pours out his love into our hearts in a full and rich stream of divine affection as he was pouring it out to that Samaritan woman. And we bask in the presence of his favor. It's our daily journey on this earth. And the Holy Spirit is within us and convinces us over and over and over again that God loves us. By the way, can God tell us too many times he loves us? Do you ever get tired of God telling you that? No, our kids never get tired of us telling them that as parents, do they? We can't hear it enough. Every time we open the scriptures, God's love letter to the world, God says, "I love you." Every time you come to the Lord's Supper, God's just embracing you with his arms, if you will, and saying, "Oh, I just love you so much." We need that. We need that nurturing. And I praise God you're here worshiping today. and not being isolated like so many others are out of fear. We need to hear that from God. And we are blessed then to live a life of worship, whether we're in this sanctuary or whether we're out there in the streets of Greeley or wherever we are. Our life is really one of worship. We're living in the confidence of God's blessings and promises and provisions, and we live in the security of His authority. I mean, that's our life there. This world has always been in God's hands, and it always will be. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, while it may be kind of a difficult journey for us right now, you know, imagine what the world would be like without the church. Imagine if there were no Christians in Greeley, Colorado. Talk about darkness. But we're the light by God's grace. And you know, in the midst of the turmoil, we can remain calm and express that peace. And you know, people are going to look at us like, how in the world can you be calm in the midst of all the turmoil? Well, because I know this is my life right here. God's got it all under control. May we extend that message that others may hear it and perhaps come to believe as well. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose love so tremendous, He died for us, the ungodly, the sinner, and has brought us into His presence and the security of heaven. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord, who reigns now and forevermore. Amen.
He was pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. By His wounds we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our sin. Punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. By Your wounds we are healed. We are healed by Your sacrifice and the life that You gave. We are healed 'cause You paid the price. By Your grace we are saved. We are saved. He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. By Your wounds we are healed. We are healed by Your sacrifice and the life that You gave. We are healed 'cause You paid the price. By Your grace we are saved. We are saved. He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By your wounds, by your wounds, we are healed. By your wounds, by your wounds. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen.
And at this time, I would invite the congregation to stand as we make confession of our Christian faith before we go to God in prayer in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And we just take a moment in silence for prayer, as I would invite the ushers, if you would, to bring the offering plates forward. And let us pray. Oh, dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence among us, for your awareness of our needs, and Lord, that you are fully and freely accessible all the time, even as you are now, as we gather to worship you and as we come before you in prayer. Lord, first and foremost, we pray your blessings to be upon the administration as they deal with the current situation, not only in the United States, but also in nations throughout the world. Lord, we thank you for our president calling for a day of prayer, a national day of prayer. And Lord, may our land truly turn to you and first and foremost seek your will and direction. Lord, may this humble our land as well, and especially in light of thinking about the scares and fears that are presented out there, and yet the most dangerous place to be in for a human being is in the mother's womb, as each day on average, even with lower numbers today, still 2,500 lives, perfectly healthy, snuffed out every day. Lord, we can easily forget that reality, and it may even pale in light of what we see in the Old Testament of offering children to Molech and Baal and many other gods, and we do it in our own land. Lord, may this humble our land to the point that people turn to you and submit to your will and seek your forgiveness and the healing that only you can provide. Lord, be with us as your precious people, that we may uphold your truth in love, that we may be a bright, shining light in a world that is very dark and evil, that we may be the calm and the peace as we share your love by our demeanor and the words when we have opportunity to share them in the midst of chaos, even as simple as in a grocery store. O Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we pray with our synod these words. Spare your people, O Lord. Preserve us from this and every illness. Give healing and strength to those who are sick, and certainly all the names listed in our bulletin this morning and those on our hearts and minds. Protect those who care for them and grant us steady minds and calm hearts in the face of fear. You have borne our infirmities in this human flesh and purchased us with your own blood. Keep us in this faith and embolden us in love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, today especially, we hold up to you Karen Rhett. Karen recently having cancer surgery and with a heart condition prior to that, and now her heart causing issues, and she has been placed in the hospital again. Lord, be with Karen. Give her patience and perseverance, her family along with her. Lord, we pray for Nancy, mother of Tiffany Martin, who suffered a heart attack last Thursday. Lord, we pray that you would continue to guard and protect Nancy. Be with Tiffany as she has traveled to Iowa to be with her mother and bring her safely home to us as well. Lord, we pray for your miracles of healing in this family's life. O Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, as President Harrison shared, the safety of our missionaries throughout the world, we continue to hold them up to you, Lord, and especially John Wolfe and his family, known as the Wolf Pack, as they serve in Kenya, Africa. Lord, be with them and bless them as they continue to share the gospel in that part of the world. And Lord, be with all of our missionaries worldwide. Oversee and guard and protect them, some of them in very dangerous places, much more dangerous than a coronavirus. Lord, just give them comfort and peace, knowing that they are always safe and secure in your name. And Lord, we thank you for the faithful work that they do. Lord, we also thank you for our first responders, for all of our medical personnel who are working overtime right now to in the midst of the current crisis in our land. Be with them, be with their families, and give them patience and perseverance in this difficult journey. Give them the strength, Lord, that they need at this time, as well as your wisdom. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for our family here at Trinity and other families represented through our visitors. Lord, we pray that you would continue to guide and direct us in fulfilling your plans and purposes for the ministry in this place. And Lord, it could be a financial trial for a while as well. Give us comfort and peace in knowing that you are the provider of all things, knowing that Satan would want nothing less than to destroy our school and church. But Lord, we know that you are much bigger than Satan. You've already conquered him at the cross. And so may we live with confidence and boldness and courage as we continue to do the work you entrust us to do, knowing that you will always provide. O Lord, we ask all of this in your precious name, honored to know and privileged to pray together as family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And Lord, also, we have many birthdays celebrated today. Jacob Orr, whose birthday is today, and our daughter Holly. And also Hannah Orr, whose birthday is next week, but celebrating with her brother today. Lord, we just thank you for these, your precious people, and for the gift of life that you give to each one of them. And Lord, continue to guide and guard and bless them in their faith journey upon this earth. And may their celebrations today be just filled with your abundant blessings. We ask all of this, Lord, in your name as we ask your will to be done. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Go now in his peace, knowing he is always with you. Amen.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, we come before your throne, bowed in humble adoration. We're so glad to be your own. So we sing in exultation. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Go now in God's peace. Have a great week.
On the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. On the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.